St. Peter has just told us that we should seek after peace and pursue it. But I'm thinking particularly of a line from Tenebrae, the last words of the last lesson, the last Tenebrae, every Good Friday evening, just before we work together to transform the church for Easter Sunday, we hear from St. Paul to the Hebrews. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. These are, of course, quite fitting words for July, which is dedicated to the precious blood of our Lord. They give us the why of the crucifixion and the what of the consecration of the precious blood at every Mass. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Very similar is this quote. It's the last, really, these are the last words of a great American hero who spent his life pursuing peace. This work is not to be accomplished without blood. Who said that? It could have been Thomas Jefferson. He wrote almost exactly those words, defending, however, the bloody carnage which was the French Revolution. Today is their national day, Bastille Day, they call it. He wrote these words, Jefferson did, actually using the word, in favor of terrorism. He said, he was a real Jacobin, he said, that's just justice. It's prompt and severe and necessary. It is a consequence of the principle of democracy. Lincoln, too, I imagine, he could have said or written these words. He was another free thinker who, like Jefferson, considered revealed religion to be priestcraft, something that had to be opposed his whole life long. When Lincoln was a young man, you know, he wrote a book against religion, all religion. And his law partner in Springfield, Illinois, had a look at it one day, and he said, listen, my friend, if you ever want to get yourself elected to office, do not print that book. He left it in the drawer of his desk. But consider the bloody excesses of Lincoln's war, the Civil War, even committed just in the North. But no, these words were said centuries before these two men lived. They were said by the first martyr of Florida, who went ashore at Tampa Bay to shed his blood for Christ and to save the souls of the savages. Today's precious blood American hero is Father Luis Cancer de Barbastro. He was a Dominican father. Now, Lincoln is hailed as a great emancipator, but you know he only freed the slaves who were held in the so-called rebel states. Father Castro, that's a curious name, isn't it? But so it is. Father Castro represented very well his founder, Saint Dominic. When Saint Dominic sent out his friars preachers against heresy, he told them, look, I am giving you no other weapon than patience and prayer and instruction. In a word, seek after peace and pursue it. And he arrived in the New World, 1537. The popes, mind you, and the saints had always been opposed to slavery, but he arrived with an emancipation decree given him in the old world by the great monarch and emperor Charles V, decreeing that all of the Florida Indians who had been enslaved by De Soto, the conquistador, should be forthwith freed. And back then, in the early 16th century, when the Spanish said Florida, they meant the whole of the United States from Florida up to Canada and over across through the Midwest. Speaking of freedom, the Dominicans led the charge, and peacefully, before our country was ever dreamed of. His fellow Dominican, to Father Castro, I mean, was a bishop, Father Bartolomeo de las Casas. He proclaimed in his writings, and before kings, the essential equality of the red race with the white. Imagine that. Going so far as to say, they have immortal souls. And because they do, all men are equal. Concerning St. Thomas Aquinas, the same origin of the soul, the same nature of the soul, and the same end or purpose of the soul's existence. Although accidentally, of course, secondarily, they are very different, all men are, and are subject to a natural as well as a supernatural hierarchy. These priests laid down the propositions which those in Washington, D.C. have long forgotten, keys to true peace and equality. All nations, said the bishop, are equally free, and it is not lawful for one to injure the liberty of another. But these American heroes I'm telling you about, they have no monument in our land, nor would they seek the praise of men. They desired rather to expiate the sins of their countrymen. The Spanish conquistadores committed against the red men. Before the Emperor Charles V, Bartolomé Las Casas preached very boldly, and he said, cruelty and death, that's what you've brought. The lash and the stick are the only pay you give these poor savages for their constant toil. And never do you even address them except to call them dogs. And that's part of the reason why so many native populations were entirely wiped out within a generation or two after the Spanish discoveries. The Dominicans and the other religious, the missionaries, realized, though, that these were sins against Almighty God. As our saint last week, the little martyr of purity, St. Maria Goretti, said, no, Alessandro, don't do it. It's a sin. And for a Christian, that's enough. God, the fear of God, that's forgotten today. That's why our liberty starts with license, but always ends in tyranny. But for the Dominicans, there was another aspect to this question of sin against God. Sin requires what? Reparation. And thus they offered themselves to the most savage tribes to be found as an atonement. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So, Father de Concer's final words, I've been quoting, this work is not to be accomplished without blood. But it didn't begin in blood, but rather in song and in music. We've been enjoying the beautiful singing these days of the young adult get-together. And music does have a power to lift man's spirits up to the truly spiritual, which is our faith. In the year 1537, this creative missionary left Spain for Guatemala, and he made a deal with the Spanish colonial authorities, who had come with all of their violence. He said, give me this one region in Guatemala. It was mountainous, and it was known as the men there were known as very, very violent, fierce warriors. He said, let me pacify them and convert them by my own methods. You stay away. They agreed. And he did it. How did he do it? He sought after peace and he pursued it. Like the Jesuits in Peru, he used music. So first of all, Father de Castro mastered their Indian language. And then he composed a catechism, and he made it into rhymes. Imagine the work. There was no infrastructure. There were no books. But he did it all himself, a man of tremendous energy and intelligence. Next, he set the rhyming catechism to music. And then he taught it to four Christian peddlers who used to work the mountain villages. You might call them hut-to-hut salesmen. So he taught them. They had to learn it by heart. That was the only way. But it's easier if you sing it. He taught them his catechism, and they brought it up into the mountains along with the traditional trinkets that missionaries always give to savages, and they always seem quite pleased with them. In the meantime, the peddlers were musicians too, and they figured out an accompaniment for the catechism with their little native instruments. And so they went, and the natives found the catechism catchy. They started singing it themselves. But then they asked the peddlers, what do these words mean? Ah, they said, for that, you'll have to talk to the padre. But don't worry. These priests are kind, and they're peaceful men. They're not like the mine owners or the big ranchers. They only want to teach you the word of God. The intrepid apostle went, and he did just that. He pacified the Indians so well that the name of the region, which before was the Land of War, was changed by the Spanish into Vera Paz, true peace. He was successful, and did that in about 10 years. Now it was time to do something more, and he turned his eyes to Florida. The emperor blessed and provided for his expedition. The land of martyrs, you see, was beckoning to him. Florida. What do you think of when you hear Florida? It's the Mecca, of course, of American retirees, and the home of the Kingdom of Mickey for those who can afford to enter therein. And it has its beaches, though. It's not particularly bloody. It was named after Palm Sunday, and it has as well its thousands of martyrs, missionaries, and the Indians they converted, killed mostly by the English and by their savage Indian allies. From 1549 to 1760, the slaughter was almost incessant. When De Castro arrived in his little boat, the emperor had said, stay away from the Gulf Coast. Go to the East Coast, because the natives on the Gulf Coast were already stirred up against the Spanish because of their cruelties. But the captain of the ship had other ideas, and he dropped them off in Tampa Bay, which the Spanish called Holy Spirit Bay. Just north today is our seminary, an interesting coincidence. It was Corpus Christi when they landed, June 23rd, 1549. They said Mass on shore, and the Indians seemed friendly at first, and during the Holy Sacrifice, they drew closer. Afterwards, there were greetings and gifts were exchanged, more trinkets, and betrayal happened next. Some of the group of missionaries were captured. The remaining went back to the ship, and they were for leaving entirely. Father De Concera was in charge, though. What was he to do? At that point of decision, an Indian rows himself in his canoe out to the ship, and he begs just for a crucifix. The missionary gives him a crucifix, and he kisses it with such reverence that the priest thinks, I can't leave these people. I can't. I must work in the land, he said, hallowed by the lifeblood of my companions. So the next day he goes ashore, and before he went, he left the words, this work is not to be accomplished without blood. It was the 26th of June. He realized as they were almost ashore, he and the sailors, they had forgotten his crucifix. He said, would you mind going back to get my crucifix? They were afraid to. They said, no. So he just jumped out of the boat and waded ashore, knelt down on the shore, and started to pray, and an Indian appears, and then more. And when he finished his prayer and stood up, they surrounded him, knocked off his hat, and without ceremony, scalped him. Killing him, the record says, with many blows, because those who were on the ship saw this happen. And his last words were the words that we say, indulgenced, at the elevation, the sacred host, the precious blood. Oh my God. You know, they say those words out loud in many a Spanish-speaking land. And at the beginning for us, because we're used to it being very, very quiet then, just the bells, it's a little surprising, but you get used to it after a while. Señor mío, Dios mío. Everyone cries out twice, or even three times. Well, Father de Castro's scalp was hung up in the tribe's temple, and they had him for dinner that night. It does seem perhaps somewhat imprudent for so great a man. Was he wasting his life that way? But his innocence, you see, matched the guilt of these great sinners, Spanish or the redskin savages. It was his desire to atone most of all by shedding his blood for the cruelties of his countrymen. Father Luis de Castro, an American hero, a saint, really, a martyr. Saints, they always open a window on to the ways of God. Don't shut it too quickly. Today, you want to work after peace and to pursue it. But remember, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.